Close. I'll explain to you when this is switched off. I'll explain to you in a bit. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers, can I ask those who are staying for the class to take a seat now, please? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I'll start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the most forgiving, the most merciful, who's gathered us here first for worshipping him in his home, that to follow up with seeking knowledge. Only a blessing that he's able to bestow upon whom he wills. And he's the only one with no partner, no helper. The one who revealed the Quran in these blessed nights, and from him alone do we seek any help. And we send salutations upon his beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was sent as a mercy to mankind to take us from darkness to light, who has revealed the Quran in these last 10 nights, and whom we see as our guide for all of mankind. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger and servant. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabbi shrah li sadri, wa yasir li amri, wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. So yesterday, for those who were here, we discussed the resilience of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the face of idolatry during his time, both in his pursuit of the truth and commitment to the truth once he had received it. I'm hoping whoever got the chance to listen, whoever was here and sat down, has had the chance to ponder and reflect on the importance and significance of what Ibrahim alayhi salam did, and considering how we can implement just a fraction of what he did into our lives to elevate us in our standing in front of Allah azza wa jalla. So today, inshallah, we'll be covering and continuing with what we did with Ibrahim alayhi salam, and looking at similar themes in his life, focusing on the use of his intellect and the excellence of his ability to debate in his arguments against his people. And we did briefly touch on it yesterday, so whoever was here will know a little bit more. I want to continue upon this and just reflect more in the excellence of his character and how he uses his intellect and his brain and the gifts that Allah gave him, and some practical ramifications. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anbiya, from verses 51 to 68, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّ بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And indeed, we are granted Ibrahim sound judgment early on, as we knew him well to be worth of it. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ. Remember when he questioned his father and his people, what are these statues to which you are so devoted? قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَبِدِينَ. And they replied that we found our forefathers worshipping them. And he responded to them, قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He responded, indeed, you and your forefathers have been clearly astray. And they asked him, قَالُوا وَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ. They asked, have you come to us with the truth, or is this a joke? And he responds, قَالَ بَلْ رَبُّكُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الَّتِي فَطَرَهُنَّ وَأَنَا عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. He replied, in fact, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, who created them both, and to that I bear witness. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. Then he said to himself, by Allah, I will surely plot against your idols after you have turned your backs and gone away. And فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. So he smashed them into pieces, except the biggest one, and just so they can turn to it to look for answers. And when they got back, they said, قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. They protested and said, who dared do this to our gods? It must be one of the evildoers. And then one of them remembered what Ibrahim alayhi salam said, and he said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَى يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard a young man called Ibrahim speaking ill of them. And then they said, قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَيُّنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ. So they demanded that they bring him before them, and then they may witness him for trial. So when they brought him forward, they said to him, قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَةٍ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Was it you that did this to our gods, O Ibrahim? And he responded, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْطِقُونَ. He replied sarcastically to them. And he said, no, this one, the biggest of them, did it. So ask them if they can talk. So for a bit of context, he had hung the weapon he used over the neck of the one who that was the biggest one from the others he had destroyed. And this next part, I want everyone to pay attention to. Allah says, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So they came back to their senses, saying to one another, you yourselves are truly the wrongdoers. So they had a moment of reflection. And then Allah says, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُسِهِمْ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ. Then they quickly regressed in their original mindset, arguing, you already know that those idols cannot talk. And this is where Ibrahim alayhi salam rebukes them. He says, قَالَ فَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. He rebuked them, do you then worship instead of Allah what can neither benefit nor harm you in any way? أُفِلَّكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Shame on you and whatever you worship instead of Allah, do you not have any sense? And they responded, قَالُوا حَرِّكُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They concluded to burn him up to avenge their gods if they must act. So I know there's a lot to cover here. Alhamdulillah, I went through about almost 15 verses there. But again, like yesterday, we're going to focus on a few particular points and themes that arise as a result of what is going on here. And the way Ibrahim alayhi salam conducts himself. So Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Anbiya, he introduces Ibrahim and he mentions how he had already given him that sound judgment from a young age. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. That we had granted Ibrahim alayhi salam sound judgment early on. So this is a young man who, even upon what he was raised upon and what Allah Azza wa Jal had already granted him, has already been given sound judgment to already be able to debate his people. So it sets the tone for what comes after it. So Ibrahim alayhi salam first starts with a sincere question as to why these people are doing what they're doing, to see what the root of this issue is. And Ibrahim alayhi salam asks them, that what are these statues that you worship? And they had a simple response that we found our forefathers doing. And Ibrahim still tells them, your forefathers could have also been astray. That doesn't mean they're right just because they were doing it. And it's an incredible lesson for us today, because how often do we see that the bad habits of the parents or things you see the older generation do, or even ourselves as a result of what they were doing, that may not, you know, completely be in regards to what we deem necessary and allowed in our religion. Think about it from the moment of Nuh alayhi salam, after they had been destroyed for the very same thing. Slowly, slowly, slowly that corruption began. With the older generation, they passed it on to the next generation, and it became a habit for those who came after them. And alhamdulillah, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, we're dealing with different issues. Usually when it comes to the Asian community, I can only speak from experience, it's the cultural aspects that usually contradict the religious values. Seems to be a common theme for us. And we forget that whatever we do that is contradictory to the deen, and if those who follow us afterwards continue to go within that direction, we will be questioned and bear the sin for it. The Messenger alayhi salam has said, in Sahih Muslim actually, and one who introduces a good practice, and I'm going to paraphrase, will get the reward of the like because he was the one who introduced it. But the same is for the opposite. If you introduce an evil practice in Islam, and people follow you after you, you will bear the burden of those who follow you afterwards as well. So it's the same thing that's happened here, that idolatry passed on. So those who came before, they said, oh, our forefathers taught us, but that sin is going to be bared by them as well. So now we have different extremes. Parents don't pray, children don't pray. Father smokes, child smokes. You speak ill and you backbite, seems to be a common thing when we speak idly. So the children begin to speak ill and backbites in a vicious cycle. And just because the forefathers do it doesn't make it warranted. So if you think to yourself now, we reflect and be like, okay, we have bad habits. Does that excuse us because the adults did it, so we do? No, of course not. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us intellect, which is the purpose of today's talk. Now we were given our own brain. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the only one amongst his people. He's surrounded by idol worshippers. His father built these idols. And yet, in all this darkness that he's grown up in, he's a source of light. And it's because he opens his heart, he uses his intellect, And Allah blessed him for it. In Surah Maryam, Ibrahim alayhi salam says to his father, so he says, Isqala li abi. So remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father, Ya abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubasiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. Oh my dear father, Ya abati, why do you worship that which cannot hear you nor see, nor benefit you in any way, shape or form? And it's the same thing he's saying to his people here. And the common sense of it all, that why are you worshipping something that just does not benefit you? And throughout this argument, you see how Ibrahim alayhi salam is reasoning with them, provoking their fitrah. He uses this sound judgment that Allah gave him, and he uses it to effectively get his point across. And on the other side, if you look at the reaction of his people, he speaks to them. They understood what was happening, and yet they still threatened him. And that seems to be a common theme with these people, who, even when you are speaking the truth, and you're doing it in the best way, they still resort, because of their ignorance and arrogance, they resort to that threat, that violence. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salam still maintains the most excellent of manners, and he is a messenger of Allah. And even when his people become argumentative, he has the higher ground due to the way he's conducting himself here. In Surah Al-Qalam, Allah tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ وَلَا تُتِعْ كُلَّ خَلَّافٍ مَّهِينٍ. That these people, all they want is for you to waver a little bit, because they themselves are wavering. So every prophet or messenger, alayhi wa sallam, is given that excellent character. Where we think the best character ends, there starts there. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even more so. So even in those matters where they're met with hostility, they're taught to maintain character, not waver when asked by ignorant people to fall to their, it's always petty, pathetic demands as well. And again, these guys are the guides for us, these are guides for mankind. But Allah tells us that how we, as just the common folk, the servants of Allah, how we should respond in these moments. Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هُونًا وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That the servants, and look, Allah uses the word Ar-Rahman here, then it is, just to remind you, the servants of the most compassionate, the most merciful, are those who walk on this earth with hunan, humbly. No arrogance in their walk, no arrogance in their speech, no arrogance in their step. And when ignorant people address them, and they do it improperly, the word here, when it says khatabahum al-jahiluna, is literally saying they're speaking ignorantly, vulgarly. Whatever you can imagine, you've seen these internet trolls, how they are, like them guys. Allah says, qalu salama, that our job, our responsibility is that we respond with peace. How often does somebody criticize Islam, somebody's done a stupid drawing here, done a stupid tweet there, and instead of responding with any tact, any ounce of humility, we use words that are worse than theirs. We respond in a way that isn't fitting of how Allah has described the word Ar-Rahman. But Ibrahim alayhi salam never loses that in the story. He exhibits the most excellent example, and I will keep using the word excellent when I describe Ibrahim, because there's no word in the English language that can describe the perfection and excellence he displays himself. And when he debates his people, he never displays any ego or haughtiness. He uses an intellectual argument, doesn't lower himself to their level. Now, it's not even just when we argue or debate with people, it's even when we acquire a little bit of knowledge. We all of a sudden, we think, okay, alhamdulillah, we pray our salah, we can recall, and we're doing this, that, and the other. We think we're mufti menk all of a sudden. And we start to talk down on other people. Not a single person, not a single one of us will ever be, nor is there, a person more knowledgeable than Ibrahim alayhi salam or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet we start to see ourselves above others, just because we have a little bit of know-how. Yet, وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. We tread this earth, we're supposed to. The same person who knows the Quran knows that Allah told him to tread this earth with that humility, and we still don't do it. And remember that knowledge is one of those things that you did not get as a result of your actions. Knowledge is a blessing and a gift from Allah. And He will hold you accountable just as He's going to hold you accountable for everything else. The most powerful thing you're going to own is that knowledge. And how you use it, how you distribute it, is going to be so important in how you're going to be judged. How you used it, how you conducted yourself with other people. The first person to be questioned on the Day of Judgment will be an alim. And he'll be asked, how did you use it? And if you are going to be shown to be one of those people who's doing it for other people to praise them and say, oh, this guy's a sheikh, he's a scholar, he's knowledgeable, then forget about it. your knowledge will be wasted. May Allah allow us to control our tempers and have the best character. It's important that we take from these excellent examples. And that's just the first portion of it. Now going, just flipping back to Ibrahim alayhi salam's people. After he's given them that argument, why are you worshipping these things that do not benefit you? Allah says something very profound here. SubhanAllah, the Quran being the ever-given miracle. He says, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That these people, raja'u, they turned back. There was a flip within themselves. And they said to themselves, we are wrong. What he's saying makes complete sense. However, look, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُسِهِمْ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَىٰ يَنْتِقُونَ. They quickly just switched back. You know that those moments where you're about to do something stupid and something good crosses your mind. And you're like, you know what, okay, I probably shouldn't be doing this. And then your ego snaps back into place and you still continue with it anyway. So they said to him that, you know these idols can't talk. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, why do you worship them then if they can't benefit you? So they're fully well aware that they're in the wrong. They know that these idols do not benefit them. But out of their pride and arrogance and not wanting to admit who else is right, they go back and they start to act upon that which they know they were ignorant from. And it shows that with Ibrahim alayhi salam here, again, excellence in his character alayhi salam, that using those sound arguments, he uses complete rationalization here. There's nothing irrational about his argument. He literally promotes the nature of a person, their fitrah. Allah says, Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And we said, Bala. We responded that we know Allah is our Lord. We had that amnesia in between. Allah sent messages to guide us. We know He's telling the truth, but we're still gonna reject Him. Why? Because it's gonna work against us. We're falling to a guy younger than us. These are lucrative, profitable for us. So we'll ignore what's the truth. And in that matter, this shows us that our job is to deliver that message. We deliver the message, we carry the message that the messengers came with. But those who decide to reject it, knowing it's the truth, they'll be answering to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah multiple times, He says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do you not use your intellect? Do you not ponder over the Qur'an? And multiple times Allah uses His signs, what He's created, His creation as a sign in itself. How many times, especially Juz Amma, how many surahs? وَالْضُحَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْفَجْرِ. Allah swearing by these things He created for you to reflect. And Ibrahim alayhi salam even says to his people, do you not use your common sense? Do you not, afala ta'qilun? Are you not looking around at what's going on around you? And the main reason I brought these points forward is because now critical thinking and using one intellect is just not promoted anymore. We have two extremes. People will blindly follow something without giving it a second thought, and they'll just follow it and use that as their excuse. And these guys did the same thing, seen our forefathers do. And we still continue in that mindset. Then you have the other side, where you have people overly questioning everything. And it gets to the point where they become confused. Well, alhamdulillah, Islam is that balance right in the middle. Alhamdulillah, through the ni'mah of Allah, it's the perfection of Islam. There's a healthy balance. What's obligatory and halal is clear. What's forbidden and haram is clear. Other matters, you're instructed to use your intellect. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Have you not pondered? Have you not thought about this? To rationally think about these things and draw the ultimate conclusion and the destination of all this mental exercise is to take us back to Allah. And everybody has different capabilities in regards to their ability to understand something, to ponder. It's difficult for people to reflect, it's not an easy thing. But we're instructed to seek knowledge and ask others if we don't know. And Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. And it's simple as that. To seek knowledge from people of understanding is imperative to your spiritual development. It helps us to be able to continue to improve our intellectual understanding of the religion, and it helps us build the spirituality alongside it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, using his intellect is a testament to his faith and not a contradiction. To think and understand, these are foundational points to develop and understand how to maneuver being a Muslim and following Islam in the way that it's most pleasing to Allah as a human being. May Allah make us amongst those. And a person using his intellect as instructed in the Quran to ponder over the magnificence of the creation of Allah. SubhanAllah, it is amazing. And how, it's also thinking deeper than that. How can you seek refuge in Jannah and Jahannam? So how can you seek Jannah, seek refuge from Jahannam, unless you spend time thinking about them? How are you going to truly understand the consequences of your actions if you're not reflecting over what these things remaining for you in the afterlife are? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu would readily ponder over it. There's narrations multiple times you see that when they were sat with the Messenger alayhi salam, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, when we're with you, so if we can see Jannah and Jahannam in front of us. And Allah just says about Bani Israel, He says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِلُوا الطَّوْرَاتَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. So he gives the example of these people in Surah Al-Jum'ah, that these were, the Bani Israel were given the Torah, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِلُوا الطَّوْرَاتَ, to guard it, to protect it. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا, and they failed to do so. And do you know what Allah compares them to? كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Now Allah says that these people who abandoned their book, the Torah, the teachings of the Torah, are like, just like donkeys carrying books. They had the books, they memorized the books, they had the knowledge, but they did nothing with it. Because when you're not acting upon the knowledge you're having, what's the point of it? It's like if you put a seed on dry land, it's not going to grow, is it? The whole point is that you dig the ground, you dig the ground, you dig the ground until you find fertile soil. You put the seed in that ground and then something blessed grows from it. It's the same thing with knowledge. That knowledge has to penetrate your heart, manifest in your actions. That's when you're acting upon those verses of the Qur'an. We have the Qur'an, we read it, Alhamdulillah, Ramadan. You know, Shahru Ramadan al-lazi unzila fil Qur'an. This is the blessed month of the Qur'an. We probably spent hours reading it, but how many times did we stop and just reflect? Allah says in the Qur'an that we're reading, أَفْلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, ponder upon it. We have an intellect, we can use what we have, our limited faculties, to at least try to understand and implement what we read, especially those verses that are clear. And one of the verses is commanding you to do exactly that. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Kareem, He's the most generous. He gives these examples of the people before us. He's the one who preserved the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preserved the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and the Tabi'in rahimahullah, so that we can have practical examples to look back on how to act upon the verses of the Qur'an. The seerah is a commentary of the Qur'an. And unless we sit there and we learn, we have no grounds moving forward. We claim to be Muslim. We read the Qur'an. We come to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, we pray Taraweeh. But we have no grounds to defend our faith if we haven't taken that time to fully reflect and understand our religion, using the Book of Allah, using the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, intellect, using your brain, using the intellect just refers to a person's capacity to use his mentality to essentially understand something. And we always associate that with intelligence, but an intelligent person doesn't mean they're using their intellect correctly. It's a gift that Allah gives whom He wills, and He will guide your intellect if you put that effort in. And then He'll ask you about that very thing. You're asked to take an advantage of the blessing of your health. A healthy person is able to use his intellect. You're going to be asked about your health. Do you not think you're going to be asked about the faculties that came with it? Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Hud says something beautiful about Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, Inna Ibrahim la halima wa awwahum munib. Inna, indeed, Ibrahim was forbearing, grieving, and frequently returning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And those adjectives, it sums up what is expected of the slave. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, again, with excellence, he displayed it. He's forbearing, he's humble as a Muslim. And even when he's confronted with people, his ability to hear when Allah says that he's forbearing. So even when he's confronted by these people, he maintains these praiseworthy characteristics, because he stays level-headed throughout all of it. And after it, you see multiple times, he testifies that he believes in what Allah revealed. He believes in who Allah Azza wa Jal is, and he believes that he is the slave of Allah, and he will only worship Allah. So he manifests all three of those in those particular moments. He is forbearing with his people despite that. He's grieving how they're suffering from this pathetic nature of worshiping idols. He feels for them, that empathy as a Muslim. And then, after all of it, who does he return to for his aid? He has no one else, he returns to Allah. And from Allah he gets the mercy and guidance. Because if this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, then who are we? If you don't put that effort in to seek the guidance from Allah, you're nothing. We are nothing without Allah azza wa jalla. The fact that we're able to sit here today is a ni'mah from Allah. There's people like Ustaji mentioned earlier, we had last year with us, who are not here today. I would have loved to have been able to sit in these gatherings of knowledge. That inshallah, that Allah will accept from us and forgive us as a result of just sitting. Alhamdulillah, what am I doing? I'm going to sum it up a little bit here. That may Allah just forgive our shortcomings in this. But alhamdulillah, this is why we do these lessons, to remind us again. I'm here, first and foremost, reminding myself. Alhamdulillah, I'm learning every day alongside everyone else. Tomorrow, inshallah, I'm going to cover how Ibrahim alayhi salam engages with his father. So as you see, I was debating his people here, how he's interacting with them. Tomorrow we're going to see how he is one-on-one with his dad. And again, excellence is the word I'm going to continue to use. And there's no synonym better than the word excellent for Ibrahim alayhi salam. He continues to show that love and respect to his father. And even though his father is rejecting, his people are rejecting, he maintains that excellence. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, وَإِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Surah Al-Qalam was one of the earlier revelations. And from the beginning, Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you maintain the most excellent character no matter what anyone says to you. And his father Ibrahim alayhi salam before him had that excellent character as well. And you see how he's gonna, so we've seen yesterday how he maintained his character in regards to being resilient and continuing that message. Today we've seen, alhamdulillah, how he interacted with his people and managed to keep that humility, keep his character. And tomorrow, probably the most important session I'm going to do. So for anyone listening at home and who's sat here, who hasn't got their kids with them, please bring your children, bring your siblings, bring your parents. This is really important that we understand this engagement and we learn how parents and children should interact with one another through the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. So it will be a very important lesson tomorrow. So inshallah, encourage those at home to come. But alhamdulillah, with that, I will conclude. May Allah forgive us for any shortcomings that we displayed in our delivery and how we presented ourselves in this class today. And may Allah allow us to practice and reflect upon what's been said and heard. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.